Hi, welcome back. Wait, let me start over.
Hello there. Welcome to the Eco Talk Podcast, Season 2. This is a platform to amplify young voices and follow the narratives of students as they ascend to construct the future of our planet and also our world. We like to bring about leaders.
My name is Angela.
My name is Gianna, and our co-host, Angela.
Yeah, hi, I'm Angela.
Our objective is to spread awareness and just spark conversations. That's why it's called Eco Talk, because we like to talk. But generally, we're both pretty introverted people, which is kind of interesting. And so this podcast is dedicated to simply shedding light on our observations, world matters, science tangents, and student advice. So speaking of student, let's talk about being one. Ta-da!
Well, I think the best part about being a student is being able to make social connections and talking with others. Like, it can be beneficial. You can even form study groups, right, Gianna? Study buddy? Yeah.
That's how Angela and I met, was actually just in the library, because hashtag being picked up late gang. Precipice of going back. Me, Angela and I actually had our first day, and so this episode is to inform about how to ensure safety and security throughout this year. It's a little precarious with the virus lately, and so we want to give some facts about that, and then also talk about our personal choices and why they may shape the future. And so it's paramount to think about the long scheme, especially with the Delta variant. And we're also going to talk about how to work smarter, not harder, and everything you need to know to be successful the school year
and stay alive.
We have multiple sections that we want to get to, and including school tangents, wildfires, learning how to learn, safety guidelines, Zoom versus in-person, study less, stay smart, and some final strategy.
Okay, so should we start with our first section, some school tangents?
Well, I think that you shouldn't fall into procrastination, because I know that it is very easy for us to go into it. So I think it's important that you change your mindset to have something positive in doing your homework.
Yeah, it's kind of like an algorithm. And we're going to talk about that more in the other section too, but yeah.
Yeah, I like to keep a positive mindset, because I think you can find something positive in everything, and I think it's something that keeps you going.
And bouncing off that, also ensuring that you're not putting yourself into like these boxes of, oh, I'm bad at math, because when you do that, you are programming yourself to be bad at math, because you're telling yourself you're bad at math, and so you're not going to perform as well. Ever like do a problem and you feel like, oh, I got that wrong, and that completely derails the whole test? That happens to me a lot, and something important is to try to not get in your head like that.
Yeah, it reminds me of this story of a student was going to take like a test, and at the end of the test, they got 100%. And so he started believing that he is good at the subject, and he started performing much, much better than he was before. But then a few months later, he was told that the score on his test was a mistake, and he actually received a lower score. But because he had the mindset that he was really good at the subject, he was actually doing better. So I think you should keep that in mind.
And so with that being said, also set your goals with intentions for the school year on a piece of paper. That's what I did last year, just because my mind was kind of in a haze, and I was like, ugh. What am I trying to accomplish? And it also just keeps it ingrained in your head throughout the school year of the set intentions you want for the school year. Let's say it's to learn the piano. Don't be afraid to ask questions from teachers and friends, and also attend office hours.
Yeah, there is this quote that says that someone who asks a question is a fool for a minute, but someone that does not, who doesn't ask it, is a fool for life.
Yeah.
I think the most important point about back to school shopping is just using what you already have at home. Because I know that I used to fall into the idea of, oh, every year, you know, a new school year, I get to use a new backpack, even though I already have a perfectly useful one for from the year before.
It's expected that it's going to be all-time high this year, jumping to 42% from 2019, with an average increase of $59 more per family than last year, which is kind of crazy. And this is actually very detrimental because this means a lot more shipping and even more returning. And so eventually stuff becomes another piece of plastic that will never biodegrade in kids' lifetimes. So although we need to teach kids to be a little bit more sustainable in their thinking and in their teachings when it comes to back to school shopping, because it's become such like a market where it's like, oh, back to school shopping, but we need to teach kids to use what they have more. And so usually when I order stuff from Amazon, I like to try to reuse the boxes for like canvases and paintings. And so when things do come in like a cardboard or even a plastic wrap, try to reuse it as much as possible into things that you might use or craft. And most of all, I think it's important to surround yourself with good friends to boost you and are also gonna put you in a good trajectory. Not people who are just gonna take and take. Yeah, just
stop them.
Just got them. Just say pop.
If you're yourself, you'll attract the good people.
Something that my Tita used to tell my mom was that even if your room's messy, at least make the bed, because it sets the tone of your room. And so something that the video also mentioned was brushing your teeth with your opposite hand, so like left hand if you're right-handed, because it stimulates more neural connections. That's something interesting that I learned. Also eating. So that's just an interesting fact that I learned. Now we're going to move on to section 2, wildfires, because they can be very detrimental to our earth, and it's the pinnacle of climate change. When we jumpstart spring, it elongates the summer and the heat season, causing more opportunities for wildfires. So it's extremely worrisome because there's only 3 components that really spawn a fire, and it's the right weather, our climate conditions, and a plenty of burnable fuel and spark. And because the earth is drying up and the heat is increasing because of global warming, there's more intense fires. And not only is this bad for our lungs to inhale, the smoke alone can travel so much. It's pretty blatant about the issues of global warming.
The smoke particles are even smaller than a speck of pollen. So that's pretty bad. Yeah. And after a few hours after a wildfire, the smoke can double in toxicity and quadruple after just a few days, which is probably why we can find some smoke around here, even though the wildfire isn't even local. And it can have everlasting health effects even when you're just exposed to one fire, depending on everyone's conditions. And if we don't do something, it is predicted that the wildfires will triple by mid-21st century.
With that being said, I'm excited to go to this section, section number 3, learning how to learn the art of learning. So over the summer, Angela took a course on Coursera, which is actually, we mentioned in our last podcast, a way to take some courses just to keep your brain active over the summer. She took learning how to learn and told me about it. And then I took it as well. And we both actually got a lot out of it. Angela more so because she probably paid more attention, but that doesn't matter.
Okay, so I'll just begin with some of the most important key points is that when we have to get proper nutrition, good enough sleep, like Gianna was talking about earlier, exercise our bodies, because that will help us so much with memorization, being energized for the school year. Fitness like really impacts our learning. When we exercise, our brain makes a chemical called BDNF, which is like food for our neurons, which makes them strong and healthy. So let me talk about neurons. When we learn, our brain makes brain links, and we either keep it or we lose it. Right, Gianna?
I know. keep it or lose it. Either
work it or...
Yeah, so you have to keep consistently exercising your mind, especially, like Angela said, as you age, you're only losing more and more from your memory. You're at your peak, actually, but at 11 in terms of capacity. That's why 11-year-olds rule the world. But, yeah, and so you want to be... You want to be doing good things for your brain, so that way you can continue to learn and retain information. And so instead of working on problems you are good at, start working on problems you need more time on. Another tip that the video gave is when you the minute you lose it, stop and completely shift to a different thing. So let's say you just hit like an overall stump, writer's block, you could say. Sometimes you just need to go for a walk and stimulate your brain, because walks are actually very great forms of exercising your brain and keeping it fluid. So taking small breaks are very important in terms of learning how to learn, because if you continuously just work on a problem, you're putting yourself into overdrive, which is never good in terms of learning, and you'll be actually a lot less effective. And so try not to do that.
Yeah, going on to that, when we are learning, our brain is in focused and diffuse mode. In focused mode, we are paying attention, like Gian was saying, working out every detail. And in diffuse mode is when we take breaks. So in our study session, we need a combination of that. And that's why the Pomodoro technique is something where we work hard, pay attention on the material for maybe about 15 to 25 minutes and take a 5 to 10 minute break.
Yeah, and also give yourself rewards. So tell yourself, okay, if I complete this, and make sure it's something like physical and tangible, because that will motivate you to actually complete something. Instead of procrastinating, just say, okay, I'll just work on it for 5 minutes and then I can work on it later. 5 minutes in, guess what? You're not gonna want to stop, because you just got into it. 5 minutes, you're like, oh yeah, oh my gosh, oh, let me just finish the sentence. Oh wait, let me just add this, and then you finally get into it.
Another habit to consider is trying to learn 3 new words every day and adding it to your vocabulary. Not only does this bolster your memory, but it also makes you a more eloquent speaker and writer. With that, I actually got this tip from the book Think Smart, and so you can check that out. And speaking of books, ensure that you're always reading.
Favorite books this year that I would recommend to just like check out is Pachinko, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, Becoming. I actually read this right before school started, and it was very becoming of me. And then next, To Live is one of my favorite books of all time. It has a lot of themes that are pretty disheartening, but they teach you about the struggles of life. And then Training in Compassion, I also read this summer. It's pretty, I don't like the word life-changing, but it's pretty life-changing because it gets really retrospective about how you should deal with daily interactions you have, and how to be a more compassionate person and not be so selfish. But yeah, and then Think Smart, like I mentioned, They're There, Quiet. In terms of media intake, sometimes I know we all just want to go into a brainless state where we're doing absolutely nothing and sometimes just watching garbage TV. Try to find shows or media that might be actually beneficial in some way.
Usually our brains learn best with images. And so there are techniques that can help your memory. For example, you can use metaphors, mnemonics. There's something called memory palaces. I recommend that you do research. It helps me remember my mom's groceries for her. and analogy.
In terms of studying, it's very beneficial to try to do as much active recall instead of just rereading the same text or re-highlighting, because that's not really going to help you memorize or retain that piece of material. What's going to help you is, let's say you take notes and then afterwards you try to speak them out loud. Let's say you're telling them to a friend. Instead of trying to just find the notes and read directly off of it, that's not going to help you learn it. Instead, try to recall it. And so just say as much as you remember. But with that being said, we're going to move on fourth section, which concerns safety guidelines and the importance of staying informed, especially during this time. Try your best under your circumstances to get vaccinated, because that's ultimately the only way we're gonna ever diminish this virus. I think it's important to talk about the Delta variant. So studies show that the Delta replicates more quickly and generates more virus particles than other variants. So good news is a complete dose of vaccinations are still effective. However, still wear a mask, because anyone could get the Delta. And it's very much of a privilege to even be vaccinated, because there is a very much of a lack of it in different parts of the world. For example, in the Philippines, only 7% is vaccinated right now. If a vaccination is available to you, please take it. I know this subject can be kind of contentious for some people, but it's imperative that if we ever want to stop the virus, come together as a community, because these choices will ultimately affect our future if schools close down, or if they stay open, or if we're able to overcome it.
So I know that the difference between being on Zoom and in person really is different, and some people really liked being on Zoom and some people really hated it.
The world really wants to rush into normalcy, but it's not a huge emphasis, and it's not. Thing is, some people I think are also rethinking how they want to live their lives.
If you will,
because I know some people preferred Zoom, like Angela said. Some people didn't, and for some people, it's a better commute to work from home. But also, in terms of other occupations, it calls for a lot of interaction in person. And so there's always gonna be kind of just a different version of the norm from before. It's especially after the pandemic, it's not gonna be the same. And I hope that we can also cultivate more empathy between another, because as on a global scale, we endured so much. And so it's give and take in terms of the environment as well, because there's obviously an increase in plastic and somewhat less cars, I guess, but we've been using more. There's more of a consumption of plastic bags and littering of masks. And so with that being said, we're going to move on to section 6, which talks about studying. In this section, we are going to refer to the video Study Less, Study Smart, which provides us strategies on how to be more efficient during our study session. Where you study, according to the video, it's extremely important and kind of outlines how well you will do, because ultimately you shouldn't be studying in places where you're not meant to study. So for example, your bed is a very bad place, because that's where you would usually sleep, or even like a couch, because it's just gonna make you feel inclined to do things besides studying. Try to find a space that is dedicated for working and studying, and so that way you can stay focused and stay in the flow of your work instead of getting distracted by your surroundings.
I recommend that you start out with your hardest tasks first,
on tests, technique to implement is starting with the hardest problem, which is usually the last problem. And let's say you get stumped, switch gears to the easiest problem. Easy peasy. If you've already done the hardest thing, your mindset's immediately gonna be determined to finish the rest of your work because, oh yeah, a lot easier than what I just did. Something that's gonna be a lot more useful of your time is actually just testing yourself and making or finding quizzes of the material that you're going to have an exam on. Because it's one thing to know the information and just see it on a piece of paper and be like, oh yeah, I know what that is. It's another thing to be able to answer it in a question form. In terms of your work, don't do it all at once, or don't say you're gonna do it all at once. Again, procrastination, because that doesn't work. That puts your, that first of all, you're overlearning. Second of all, you're just overexerting yourself. Like, bruh, who wants to do that? So you don't have to study all at one time. Instead, make times throughout the week to study in smaller increments of time. First of all, you'll be more productive. I noticed that when I revisit the same assignment, sometimes I'll catch mistakes that I might have made prior. And so that's why sometimes it's good to go in with a fresh mind instead of just kind of just putting yourself in overdrive. Yeah. Also, oh my gosh, this is my favorite tip. Take your naps. Oh my God. Power naps work. Power naps work. They are important to your success. Want to be successful? Take a nap. So a daytime power nap produces as much offline memory enhancement as a whole night of sleep. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And so you're producing sleep spindles. And so embrace them, live them, and find the power in your naps.
Thank you.
The last tip I personally have is try not to multitask, because I love multitasking, but physically your brain can't handle it. And so don't try to multitask. Although you think that you're just doing, hitting two birds with one stone. Sorry.
I was gonna say two stones with one bird.
You're actually just probably taking more time because you're switching from one thing to another thing, one thing to another thing, and it's just confusing your brain. Instead, have designated time to focus on one thing at a time and have as least amount of distractions as possible.
Yeah, when you multitask, you're not doing two things at once. You are shifting your focus between two things, which isn't very efficient.
Yeah, and so want to make most of your time, make sure you're just focusing on one thing at a time, doing it from hardest to easiest, and taking breaks and creating tangible rewards at the end. So maybe it's like, I'm gonna get boba after I finish my chemistry homework. That sounds like an amazing plan to me. Our final topic we're gonna discuss in this podcast are just some strategies that we came up with over the years. Obviously, as students, we're consistently learning new techniques and learning more about how to be better students and how to be better learners in the world, because I think one of the best things to do in life is to learn.
Yeah, of course. As I said earlier, try to take care of yourself, get enough sleep, eat well, exercise. Even if it's like dancing, you're still moving your body. And also, please use active recall, guys. It helps a lot when you're studying.
But a quote that I heard that resonated with me is, learn as if you're ready to teach. Sometimes I help my friends with their homework, or I'll just vent intensely about a subject that I just learned, and I'll just spew out information left and right, whether the person that I'm telling wants it or not. For example, poor Angela just listens to all my TED Talk. It was actually pretty funny, but yeah, and so I think that's a good point. And also, don't study right before the test. The thing is, it's not gonna be long-term memory. You're gonna forget it literally probably like in the next 20 minutes. So study to actually retain the knowledge.
Yeah, that reminds me about studying before tests. It reminds me that when you are doing your study sessions, don't do it like all in a single day. even, like, it's more effective if you study for 10 minutes every day than if you study for a lot of hours in a single day. Because the more you study, it creates more brain links, and when you're learning, you're changing the structure of your brain. So the more brain links you make, they'll be able to get longer and thicker, and that all that information that you'll be studying will be able to go into your long-term memory. So practice is a big part in studying smart.
Yeah. And then also, in terms of note-taking, a helpful tip is to finalize your notes directly after class or directly after you took that class. So if you want to add extra info, because, or even just make some of your notes more clear, because ever just come back home and then you look at your notes and it's like,
what the heck is this?
Be invested in what you're learning. Don't sometimes, like, it's really hard when you're not interested to try to study. Ever have that? It's so hard. Study groups. Try to make at least one friend in every class. Just spark conversation and ask for their phone number. It's so interesting because sometimes people will have things that didn't even cross your mind. And so by just conversing and sharing your notes or sharing your gatherings from a certain lesson, you already gain so much, because some people, like, will just have things that, oh wow, I never even thought about it like that, or oh wow, I totally missed that point. And just adding it and noting it, it's so much more helpful and will make you a better student. And so yeah, I like to learn a lot from my classmates. And yeah, last but not least, take care of your health and listen. The best way to learn is to listen. Listen to the individuals that encompass your life. And more importantly, continue listening to this podcast so that way you can gain more know-how on how to be a more ethical person and a learner of this ever-changing world. Anyways, just continue to work it as a student. Thank you so much for listening to this EcoTalk podcast, the first one of season 2. I'm so excited for this new school year. Continue to listen so that way you can learn more and maybe even entertain yourself. But yeah, the minute you lose it, stop and go for a walk. Peace out.